Boy, I have to admit, I'm really excited about my birthday tomorrow.
Boy, I hope you're not too disappointed. I let Rashi be in charge of all the arrangements.
Oh, you did, huh?
Yeah, and so far it's cost us $26,000, and I haven't seen
it. $26,000?
Mm-hmm.
That's more than we pay Miss Damore.
I know.
Oh, my God. Rashi.
Yeah?
What's this about my birthday costing $26,000?
Oh, is that money for your birthday?
Wait, your mom gave you money for my birthday. You said you really wanted to arrange things?
Well, I said that, but that was just the easiest way to get your debit card out of her hand.
Oh, no. What did you do with the money?
Well, you know what? Let's just say we all have regrets.
Okay, and what do you regret?
Oh, not taking your $26,000. Woohoo! Happy birthday, sucker!
Hi, it's Paul Dini.
And this is Misty Lee, and I'm off again, because I have a seance tonight. I need to curl my hair.
Well, I'll probably be off again right after you, because apparently I have to write about 7 or 8 freelance scripts in order to make up what Rashi has blown on my birthday.
That's pretty lousy pay for a freelance script. $26,000 for 7 or 8 freelance scripts?
Well, I got to scare up
you
the money
quickly. You
need
to join a union or something.
I got to scare up the money quickly. So I'm going to be, actually, what I'm going to be doing is translating Korean anime into English, and so I'm going to do about 18 shows.
Happy birthday.
Do you have to know what they're saying to begin with, or you just make it up?
Not at all.
You know what? He actually did quite well in Korean karaoke.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know that he did that?
No.
There's a place around here, and you should know that it exists, because it's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Tyler Main and Renee Geerlings took us out one night to do, and I don't like karaoke. I actually get so embarrassed for people at karaoke, I start crying, and I have to leave.
Oh.
Like, I can't even help it. Like, people get up, and they can't sing, and unless they're really committed, unless they're just over the top and they're truly awful, I love that.
Yeah.
Like my friend Anita can sing, and she's actually in bands and stuff, but she got up and did Ring of Fire and just turned it into a torch song, and she was yelling, "And it burns! It burns!" Like it was like beat poetry. It was hysterical.
Yeah.
But she wasn't taking it seriously. But sometimes you get people that get up there and like this is really their moment to perform.
They feel this is that time to shine.
Yeah.
This is 5 minutes.
Yeah. And I actually get so embarrassed, my eyes start watering. And so I can't handle it. Like, I go, oh, no. Like, I gotta get out of there. And it's really bad. But there's this place nearby where it's all Korean. And so all the lyrics are in Korean. And all the songs are from Korea. And you get, like, this Nintendo paddle. And you
I was kind of.
Click, click, bloop, 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 and they put you in a private room with just your party.
Oh, I do remember that.
You can be as loud as you want.
And saying whatever.
And you can't even hear the people next to you. And, like, the door is glass, you know, so they can, like, spy on you or whatever. And or kill you if you're really bad. I don't know what they're glass for. But it was hysterical. And Paul Dini, star of the Korean karaoke.
Oh, that's right. I was singing in, air quotes, Korean.
Yeah, well, you were just making it up.
Making
but it
up
was
gibberish.
Hysterical.
Yeah, it was.
Because, like,
was
the words
good.
Are all in Korean. None of us read or spoke Korean. We certainly didn't sing it. And it was hysterical.
Well,
you
I happen
really
to admit I'm a very good gibberish singer.
Don't call Korean language gibberish.
Well, I was not singing Korean because I don't know Korean language.
That
I was just making
correct.
Up gibberish.
Yeah, that's true.
I was making up racially insensitive gibberish.
Well, it wasn't racially
maybe
insensitive.
Maybe you should just start scatting instead.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Stoop, bat, and do that, need it.
Poop, poop,
poop,
poop,
poop,
poop,
poop, poop, poop, poop, poop, poop, poop, poop, poop, poop, poop,
poop, pretty good singer, so
yeah, you are actually.
I do admit so.
Yes, you've got your father's angelic golden voice.
My dad's beautiful voice.
He does have a beautiful voice too.
Yeah, I got some of his old records.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You can find him in cool collector stores.
And a poster with his face on it, along sponsored by Chetty's Donuts in the bathroom.
Yeah. So that knowledge of fake
Chetty's,
Korean
you know what Chetty's is?
No,
I don't even know. I think it's a hysterical name. It sounds like cheese.
Oh,
like
you know, I looked it up because I didn't remember it from when I lived in Boston. But Chetty's Donuts was like a local chain that was big, I guess, post-war to like the mid or early 60s, and then got wiped out by Dunkin' Donuts. Because I don't remember it in the 80s when I was, it might have been, I think it was still around here and there, but it was pretty much all Boston was a Dunkin' Donuts town when I was there, late 70s, early 80s. Like if you wanted a donut, you bought a Dunkin' Donut.
So it was, Dunkin' was to Chetty's what Krispy Kreme has been to Dunkin'. Essentially. Not that Dunkin' Donuts is gone or going. It's because I know that their coffee is great, so please no flaming.
Well, it's actually what Krispy Kreme is now in California, so that's kind of chewing into Winchell's. You know, Winchell's donuts are still here.
Yeah.
There's a Winchell's not far from here. And Winchell's is pretty good donuts, but Krispy Kreme came along, and they were like the new kid in town, so everybody...
Well, Krispy Kreme is national, because we have them in Michigan, too. Yeah.
But Winchell's has always been California or SoCal.
You like the Krispy Kreme?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Every time I see that hot, fresh now sign lit, I'm like, oh, I really want to go over there.
Their blueberry donut. I love their blueberry donuts.
You like their maple donuts, too.
Maple donuts.
And their lemon donuts. You like those, too. There's a lot of them that they have that you like. I like everything they have there for the most part, but I only like one kind of, like, I'm such a fuss ass. I only like one kind of donut, so.
Well, what's your one kind of donut?
The custard eclair.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
I like the cream eclair.
Uh-huh.
But it's only an eclair.
Yeah.
That's it.
I like their specialty
donuts. I don't like crullers. They piss me off. Bear claws, get them out of my face.
But those
glazed donuts from Krispy Kreme, I'll tolerate. They're very good.
Bear claws and apple fritters are like a morning.
Old people shit.
No, they're like a morning long commitment. Like
they really are.
It's like you have a morning meeting and there's one, and then you take it, then you eat one claw off the bear claw, and that gets you through to about 11.
Hey, speaking
and
of bear,
what?
Moving the dumpster.
Oh, yeah. You like that.
Hysterical.
Yeah, that was great.
Did you see it?
Yeah, I saw that.
So funny. That is Bear's like, thank you very much. My question to Paul was like, where's he taking that?
To our viewers, there's a gif of a bear just walking, looks like he's walking into somebody's yard, just grabs their rolling giant trash can and just takes it.
Yeah, it was in Colorado Springs.
And then he came back the next day and got another one.
Wow.
The security camera, it's actually YouTube videos. Paul was watching him this afternoon. They're hysterical. Everything's hysterical to me. I'm using that word over and over.
He's smarter than the average bear, and most humans that I know,
right
too.
Right on. You know?
I guess
we were laughing so
I guess he took off his tie and pork pie hat so he wouldn't be identified.
Yeah, so the ranger wouldn't know it was him.
Ranger Smith to get mad,
We were watching funny Yogi Bear last night where Boo Boo was kissing his ranger's ass and laughing at all of his jokes.
Yeah. Well, first he laughed at one of Yogi's jokes, and the ranger scolded him. And Boo Boo was like, "I'm sorry." And then the ranger cracked a joke, and so
Boo Boo was like overcompensating.
And then Yogi yelled at him for laughing at the ranger's joke.
Yeah, everybody was yelling at Boo Boo.
Gosh, I like Yogi Bear. What a great cartoon! That's one of my favorites.
Yeah, we actually put a bid on we didn't get it, but we put a bid on a big showbiz bear. The
title card.
Yeah, it ended up going for $6,000, which was just more than we were going to spend on a Yogi Bear title card, because why do we need that for $6,000?
Title cards are great because, you know, in their
heyday...
There's
only one!
Yeah, but in their heyday, they would get, like, a studio artist or an animator, or sometimes even the director would draw it.
Yeah.
And then they would make a special cell... And they're really gorgeous works of art. Sometimes you'll just see
this one cool is okay. Lettering. It's not.
It's a nice pose on him, but he's got his hat off. You know, you never see him with his hat.
I like the pose from the beginning of the one we watched last night, where he's just kind of standing sideways, and it's like it's really awkward, and he's like, "Bleh."
Van Eaton has a really nice Huckleberry Hound title sequence or title card, which is Huck dressed either as a special delivery guy or a postman, and he's holding a letter. He's being chased by a dog.
I liked the Huckleberry Hound scene last night where he was eaten by a lion and his head was sticking out of its mouth.
Yeah.
That was very funny.
You know, one of the things I never got, that always cracked me up or made me think as a kid about Huckleberry Hound.
By the way, if you ever wonder what we do at 2 o'clock in the morning, obviously we're watching Boomerang.
Yeah, okay.
This is what we do. Anyway, go ahead.
Huckleberry Hound looks more like a real dog than Goofy looks like a real dog.
Indeed.
Yeah, but Huckleberry Hound always wound
Goofy
up...
Goofy looks like a dog monkey.
Well, he looks like a dog human, but...
He looks like a dog mixed with Pete, which is supposed to be a cat, right?
Yeah, but Huckleberry Hound looks like a regular dog, and he's called Hound, and he does a hound dog howl.
Yeah.
And he always winds up being victimized by dogs, you know?
That's
like,
weird.
He'll barbecue a steak, and a dog will take it from him. And he'll sometimes go, bad dog, man, you know?
Sometimes he's terrorized by a termite, which...
Oh, you
me
like
very
that?
Happy. Buzz.
Emily and I were just recently discovering that there's a long controversy behind Goofy and whether or not he's ever admitted he is a dog.
Hmm.
His name used to be Dippy Dog.
Yeah, but that was before they changed him to Goofy. And apparently, there's some big issue of admitting he's a dog because of Pluto.
Well, here's the thing: actually in the new Mickey Mouse shorts they're making now, they've gone back to the old design, and Goofy doesn't wear pants. And he has
like
the tail. Yeah, that's right. And he has a tail.
Oh.
And so he's the it's
more
the old
like
dip,
the Dippy Dog.
But they call him Goofy, but it's the Dippy Dog design. Well, you know, it was weird because, you start drawing these characters. And back then, they were all rubber hose animal head characters. Mm-hmm. And Pete was a cat, you know. He's like a huge, obese, tailless, legless alley cat. Shaving,
toothless, cigar-smoking cat.
Alley cat. I mean, it's natural, cat versus mouse. So even though Mickey's a humanoid mouse.
That's true. I didn't even think about that.
But it's like, you know, but that was the thing, is I guess that what happened is that as there are people of different racial backgrounds in the real world, that but they're all human, in the Disney world, you can be of the mouse persuasion or the duck persuasion or the dog persuasion, and everybody's sort of a human. Mm-hmm. And then there are animals. So I guess mice, ducks, dogs, cats, horses evolved up to a point where they were like humans.
Like Oz.
Yeah, and then yet they're still mice, you know? And then there's a weird thing, because there was a cartoon called The Worm Turns, Mickey Mouse cartoon.
Yeah.
Where he's playing, he's like a scientist in his house, mm-hmm. and he comes up with a courage formula. So he squirts it on a mouse, a real mouse, not like one of his peers, not like Minnie or something. And the mouse goes and beats up a cat, not Pete, but an actual cat. Then
never realized that while watching that.
And then Pete, then he squirts the courage formula on the cat, who goes up and beats up Pluto, and then the dog catcher, Pete, who's ostensibly a cat, catches Pluto, and Mickey squirts Pluto, and he goes after the dog catcher. And so it's this...
That sounds like a stupid cartoon.
Well, it's not one of the better ones, but it's this weird thing where you start to wonder about evolution, and, you know, it's like Mickey does not live in a hole in the wall. He doesn't eat cheese. And He's not like Jerry. You know, mm-hmm. Tom and Jerry are clearly a cat and a mouse mm-hmm. who sometimes
Speaking
behave
of Tom
like...
Tom and Jerry.
Yeah, it's out for sale today. Tom and Jerry's Giant Adventure.
Don't blow it online. Off. It's a big deal, and I'm really proud of you.
Thank you.
Really
not tonight, but
yeah, you mean earlier this week.
Yeah.
Earlier this week, right? Wink, wink.
Yeah. Yes, yeah.
But back to the
not
question.
Not on Tuesday night. But on Sunday, when you're listening to this.
But back to the question of Disney.
Arrived from Amazon.
Disney evolution, you know, it's like that's a weird thing. Although they don't even like using the term evolution, but it's just like
firsthand.
It's just one of those things that they just don't like. Yeah, I mean, all right, they have proven that that ducks will eat are cannibalistic and will eat real ducks and will eat other birds.
That's disgusting.
They do, but then, you know.
That's like a crab eating humans.
Think of all the Christmas cartoons where Scrooge McDuck and Donald sit down and eat a turkey. They do that, and it's weird to see a bird eat another bird, but then, you know, there is a precedent for this because birds eat other birds in nature. So
I hate this conversation.
Why would not Donald enjoy a turkey?
Thumbs down.
Well, you can't really think about them so much that they're just sort of evolved animals. That's the way evolution works in
their world. They're anthropomorphized animals. They're supposed to be human. They just happen to have that so that they're not all kids.
Yes, yeah,
so
and
then they could get away with being violent and get past the censors because it's just a duck beating up another duck. It's not a kid beating up another kid. Also, cartoons would be super boring. I guess Phineas and Ferb do okay.
Yeah, but then you get into weird
but
hybrids.
But you got Perry the Platypus being a spy, and if that's okay, then Donald can have a turkey.
But then, all right, look at the mice like in Cinderella, like the vermin that hangs out with Cinderella.
Gus-Gus.
Gus-Gus and Jock.
I almost bought
Jock.
A cell of Gus-Gus.
Jock and Gus-Gus are clearly mice.
$1,200.
Because
I said no.
When Gus comes into the picture, he's like a little field mouse, and they dress him up, and suddenly, oh, okay, he's one of the humanoid. But he's not human. But they all can talk, and Cinderella kind of understands them.
You wear
them.
Hats.
Yeah. And
mice
then you've
don't
got Basil, who's a detective in Basil of Baker mm-hmm. Street, and there's a whole mouse subculture, and yet there are humans who don't really pay that much attention to what the mice are doing. And then the rescuers, and where do they fit in? So they're all weird mice thing creatures, and
they're,
yet they all run from
they're
people.
They're humans in mouse form.
Yeah.
That's what
so
they
there's
are.
No explanation.
Whereas if you get to something like Ratatouille, you've got an actual rat who's a chef, and people react to the rat. Although it can cook, it can't communicate. It can only cook.
Yeah.
And people react to the rat as though it's a rat. So what is the point of this conversation?
I don't know. I guess that life goes on in all sorts of forms.
Can it just be over?
What, life?
No, the conversation.
Oh, okay. Yeah, sure. Okay.
What else did he get at the auction or check out?
We didn't buy hardly anything.
Oh, okay.
Because everything was so expensive. I mean, it's like, you know.
I got a couple of good things.
You did? Yeah, there,
it was for my birthday. Instead of birthday presents, we bought some stuff in the auction.
Yeah, I shouldn't have told you. I got him a Jungle Book sale.
Ooh,
that's really
from
nice.
From the original Jungle Book movie.
It's Shere Khan and Baloo fighting.
Yeah,
nice. That's
really Baloo was pulling on Shere Khan's tail. It's a really good sale.
Yeah,
and they had one of Mowgli and Baloo.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked him, I said, okay, I don't want to buy this without you looking at it.
Yeah.
Because I know this is your favorite, and I know that you love this, and I know this is your favorite book, and I know you're very fond of the cartoon. This is the one I would pick for you, which was the one with the two animals.
Yeah.
Because I know how he loves animals.
Yeah.
And also, I know he loves those two characters specifically. And I said, but this is a really cute shot of Mowgli and Baloo hugging. I think they were hugging.
Yeah.
And I said, so this is an iconic movie, but this is a Paul Dini. Which one do you prefer? And he was like, it's natural. Obviously, I want the animals. And I was like, okay, that's good.
Mm-hmm.
And then I also got him a Pecos Bill.
Oh,
cell of Pecos Bill making a face at a snake. Going,
American Legends cartoon
from Melody Time.
It's when Pecos Bill is a kid and he's staring down a rattlesnake and yelling at it. And the rattlesnake is like,
and the snake is going, whoa.
Nice.
And it's a really clear shot. Nice. Of
yeah. So there, it's a really great
we'll bring
shot.
Him in. And we've got that purple hallway and I want to start hanging up because he's got a couple really good
cells. The Bugs Bunny. And the Bugs Bunny.
Yeah, that's a painting though. That was a coloring book. Cover.
Oh, it's like it's back from an era that they don't have anymore where
90s.
Well, 80s. 70s, I think.
Yeah, I think
so. No, I think it's
funny stuff was I think it's 70s, like, early 80s.
Okay.
But this is because it's
Poochie.
It's a little old man design.
That? No, you're looking at me like I'm crazy. Maybe I'm the only one in the room that knows Poochie.
You mean The Simpsons?
Uh-uh. Nope. I mean, the white dog with the pink hair that they used to sell at Kmart, and she had like art kits and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
No one knows. All right, Poochie. Anyway.
But I'm saying, like, this is from an era when they actually would use the artists who drew, like, the comic strips or the cartoons to do paintings and things for coloring books. Because right now, we were talking earlier that it's all bad licensing guide art. That's always frustrating me. Like,
about that.
We were talking about that.
Oh,
I mentioned the auction, and I said we talk about it on the podcast because.
Yeah.
I love it when that they would have had a staff of people drawing either the comic books or who did double duty on the comics or the cartoons. Actually, I found out Mark Evanier told me that for the Tom and Jerry comics, they would get the animators would actually moonlight and they would draw the Tom and Jerry feature.
That's cool.
Nice. That's why the artwork is really good on the Tom and Jerry mm-hmm. feature in the old comics. And Carl Barks used to draw who created Uncle Scrooge, did the Barney Bear.
That's cool.
Barney Bear segments. But
you know what else they had in this auction?
What?
They had some really amazing pieces that were quote-unquote prepared. They were quote-unquote trimmed and prepared and put on an airbrushed background by Crevoisier Galleries. Yeah. And I feel like that devalued because they trimmed everything and then they framed it fancy. And it's like, don't do that. What's wrong with you? They had a cell from Snow White of the Wicked Queen holding the open box and looking down at the huntsman. And it was a beautiful, like, face-on shot. $25,000.
And it's trimmed and everything?
And they trimmed it and put it on an airbrushed background. Why would you trim that? That is insane to me.
But that's how they used to do it. Like, Disney, back in the 40s, they had a deal with Crevoisier Galleries where they sold the cells through them. And that's what they would do is they would cut them down. And
so these are old cells. I mean, obviously they're old cells. I thought they were recently trimmed.
Oh,
so
I don't know. I didn't get a good look at it.
Someone may have acquired these from having purchased them at Disneyland.
Well,
is that what you're saying?
Well, you know.
Because Crevoisier Galleries used to have the right to do this, and this was a common practice back then?
I think so. I'm not sure. You'd have to ask a real expert. We'd have to get Jerry Beck or Steve Worth or somebody like that in here who actually works with old cells or somebody like that.
I just found it fascinating, but it still went for $25,000.
Yeah.
And then there was Pinocchio, and it wasn't Geppetto, but the other guy.
The coachman?
I don't know. But it was an iconic shot of the two of them in some kind of a shop.
Jiminy Cricket?
No,
Stromboli, I think.
Stromboli.
Yeah, the guy with the big bushy beard?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's Stromboli.
And that one went for $25,000.
Yeah.
They had original Dumbo cells. And I'm just going, you know, that's lovely, but we're not that kind of collector. You know, we don't have stuff like that in our house.
I have that beautiful Brer Rabbit cell.
Yeah, that was pretty
And that's
excellent.
Not trimmed down or anything.
No, right. they had a Brer Rabbit model sheet.
Yeah, that went for
the original Brer Rabbit model sheet. And that one went for $13,000.
Yeah.
That was crazy. That was a lot of money. Like, I mean, I just look at that and I go, you know, even if I had it, you know, and I'm not saying we do or don't, but I'm just, you know, like to have $13,000 to buy that, if that meant a lot to you, you know, like if it was like, oh my God, that's the piece, that's the keystone, you're like, that's the crown jewel of my collection. Or, you know, like for example, if I did the voice of, because there was some really great pencil drawing of Maleficent. and she was smiling, and her crow, Diablo, was on her shoulder, mm-hmm. and she was smiling at her crow, and the crow looked like, you know, like it was looking at her, and she was looking at it, and it was a production, like pre-production drawing, yeah. and I thought, man, that's drawing. Really nice, yeah. and that was like $500, and I thought, you know, that's like over 50 years old, it's really beautiful, it is an iconic shot, but it's a pencil drawing. And this is, it starts at $500. So I talked to him and I said, can I? Because I really like her, you know? And he said, yeah, if you get it for that, it went for 15.
Oh yeah.
And I wouldn't pay that. Mm-hmm. Although I like her, I don't do Maleficent's voice.
Yeah.
You know, I just liked it. I liked the shot. I liked the pose. I liked it, but I didn't $1,500 worth of like it, you know, but to the person who paid it, priceless. You know what I mean?
Every once in a while you can luck into a really good deal. Like, 20 years ago, I went to an animation auction with a friend of mine, and he wanted to invest in animation.
Is this David?
No, it was my friend Ron Solomon, who was a writer that I knew way back when. And he and his wife were having kids, and they wanted to put some animation up, but he also wanted to make an investment. So he went to a show, and they, you know, it was like, do I want the Saracel that's really nice, mm-hmm. limited edition Saracel, but was never in a movie, or do I want this animation cell, which is nice, but it's expensive, and which one is going to be the better investment? And ultimately I said, it's not a question of really the best investment, unless you're going to turn it over, you know, you just get whatever you
which
like.
Which appeals if it's, to you.
Yeah. And I remember, so we were there, but at the same sale, this guy had this title card. And it was from a short called Lion Around, which is a Donald Duck short.
Uh-huh.
He's not on the title card, but it's this great shot of this mountain lion. And he's kind of sitting there like, you know, kind of laid out. The design is based on a design Milt Kahl did from a cartoon called Tiger Trouble.
Okay.
That one where Goofy's hunting the tiger and the tiger is really lanky and animated.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. What they did was they took that same design, took the stripes off him, and made him into a mountain lion, and then used him in a couple of cartoons. Mm-hmm. So I said, how much is it? You know, what's this? And the guy selling it said, I don't know, it was Pink Panther or something. And it's like, and I knew damn well what it does. And
so you're going,
I was like, okay, well, you take $200? I don't know, yeah, okay. And it's the actual title card, you know, from it. And it's going, I'm going like, shit, man, this is great.
You still have it?
Yeah, it's in storage somewhere.
Bring it home.
It's really nice. I was looking for it last time I was in storage. I couldn't find it.
Come here, buddy.
I know I still have it, but I just, you know.
Emily, can you put him up here? He doesn't know what to do. Come here, dude.
So,
come here this way.
Come here. Oh, puppy.
He's going, wait, don't pick me up. I don't understand.
Come here, dude.
So sweet. Come here, buddy. You can pick him up. Come here.
All right.
That's a good boy. Here he comes. Good boy. Come on.
There he is.
That was really hard. Okay. Yay.
So every time, you luck into something, and then sometimes you wind up paying thousands of dollars more for something that just, you know.
Well,
just...
and like I said, that Yogi Bear title card went for almost six.
Mm-hmm.
So who knows what you might get if you turned that over. Although the title character, you know, the lion is there, but Donald isn't. It might not be worth as much as, you know, seeing Yogi kind of smiling in a cute pose for Showbiz Bear.
Yeah.
But you never know what that $200 investment that you made all that time ago might turn out to be.
Well, in a lot of cases, when you... Like, I'll look through animation catalogs, and I'll see characters misnamed, or they'll say it was from this movie, and I know it wasn't, you know. Like, I've got a great sell of Bugs Bunny and the Tasmanian Devil.
Oh, yeah, you
and
do.
And it's a beautiful drawing, and it was probably, you know, and you can tell it's like a great pose, you know, full animation pose, but it was not in a Looney Tunes short. It was actually from a McDonald's commercial, but it was animated by this A-team of animators over at Warner Brothers when they had a small unit there who was just doing the characters in a really terrific way for ads and, you know, and for shorts and things like that. So it's just a really nice shot. And that's the sort of thing if somebody said to me, and I could see a collector saying, well, it looks great, but it wasn't from, you know, Devil May Hare or any of the classic shorts where they were together. It was just from a McDonald's commercial, and it's like, I don't care. It's a great shot of them. It, you know, I'll never find a Bugs that looks that good, and Taz is really funny in the shot.
Mm-hmm.
So aesthetically, it just appeals
to me. Well, and also it makes sense for you to buy something like that, whatever you paid for it, because it meant something to you.
Yes, exactly.
And that's the only reason to buy that kind of stuff. Like I said, you know, that Maleficent pencil drawing, it was like, $500 is kind of a lot for a pencil drawing. But it's a 50-year-old pencil drawing, and I really like that pose. And for $500, it's a stretch, but I would put it in my office. Mm-hmm. And then when it started going up and up and up, I was like, No. That's more than I want to pay for a pencil drawing. Because when you get up past $1,100, $1,200, you go, you know what? I could hire somebody that we know who's a Disney artist now to paint me as Maleficent in that pose and put it in my office. You know, like, I mean, it becomes like, I don't want a painting of myself as Maleficent, you know, but it's like, you start going, wait a minute, maybe this other person really wants this. You know, for all I know, we were bidding against Susan Blakeslee, who does her voice now, or someone who's like a Maleficent freak, and that's the one thing. Let them
Angelina Jolie.
Well, yeah, she's playing her.
Yeah.
You know, but it's interesting. And so it just becomes like, just buy what you love and then be surrounded by it. And then eventually, you know, like with someone like you, you bought so much over the years that you sometimes don't even know what you have.
You know, it's got a great animation collection.
David frickin' Mandel.
Well, he's more comic art, but that Steven bastard. Spielberg. Steven Spielberg. Oh, he's not a bastard.
David is fantastic. Huh. The reason I said David is a bastard is because he has an original Calvin and Hobbes drawing.
Sunday page.
It's a Sunday page of Calvin riding a stick pony with a crayon drawing on the wall behind him.
What?
Is he a bastard?
Yeah, he's a bastard.
Son of a bitch.
Thank you.
It hangs in his...
Because Watterson doesn't sell his art.
No.
He has a man cave apartment. Not connected to his house. It's actually in a high rise.
In the same place where Max lives.
And and it's the man cave he goes to because that's the apartment he had when he was a bachelor. And all his stuff is there. That hangs on the wall between a stormtrooper outfit and Ricardo Montalban's con outfit.
I don't care about those two things. How did he get a hold of Bill Watterson art?
Bill Watterson
won't even license it.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, how did Indiana Jones get the cross of Cortez? You know, he's Indiana Jones. Well, David Mandel is David Mandel.
Indiana Jones collecting kitchen. David Mandel.
If there is something he wants, I've been on him with some of his rambles, where we've gone to Illustration House in New York and gone to a few places and gone to Comic Cons with him, where he has been on the hunt for something. I saw him buy a gorgeous Norman Rockwell preliminary once. And it was just, you know, they're buying artwork at Illustration House, and I bought the bears.
Which is fantastic. The bears eating pancakes,
And he got the Norman Rockwell.
Oh, God.
So it was like...
That had to be $50,000, $60,000.
Well, a little disparity in what we paid, but...
I should say. However, I like your painting.
I like it, too.
The Baumhofer? It's pretty fantastic.
And
the bears eating pancakes.
Yeah, that definitely wins over any Norman Rockwell.
I don't know about that. It was a really good Norman Rockwell.
I like some Norman Rockwell, but
I would be really jealous of is my little bulldog one. That's the one I like.
Oh, it looks like Deuce.
There's a little fat dog sitting in the middle of a street just causing chaos all around it. And it's just like, what?
I've seen Deuce sit in that pose. Like
I have too.
Mm-hmm.
I have seen him cause that kind of chaos as well.
Oh.
But I could see that. But again, you know, like when you walk into David's place, everything around him, he's like, oh, that's the con. He has a Boba Fett helmet too, right?
I think he has both. Stormtrooper.
Because I remember seeing Boba Fett in there. One of the Boba Fett helmets from the movies.
Or he might have gotten a mask of it or something like that. I don't know. He has some toys.
He also had something in foam.
Foam.
It wasn't a Yoda head. What was it?
It might have been Yoda.
I think it might have been.
Yeah.
It was something. I mean, like, it's a lot. You walk in there and you don't go, is that a... Because the answer is yes.
Yeah. That can't be like the... Oh, yes, it is. Yes, it is.
The actual con costume. Outfit.
Yeah.
Stop it. But that Bill Watt... I walked through and I zoomed. It was the first time I'd ever been in there and the last time. And I told him, I said, you need to get me out of here. Because if I leave on my own accord, that's going with me.
Yeah.
And David said, over my dead body. I said, that can be arranged.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was like, oh my God. And he goes, out of everything in here, that's what you hone in on. And I said, that's what I love right there.
Yeah.
I love Calvin and Hobbes. And I knew, I had a political science professor at Michigan State, Wade, who was friends with Watterson and knew him from philosophy circles. and political science circles because he was very big into that. And I think it's got a doctorate if I'm in poli sci, if I'm not mistaken. I'm probably mistaken, but whatever it was, he was running tight in those circles, and they had gone to school together.
Uh-huh.
And he was drawing Calvin and Hobbes, much like you were doing Rilo Rodent, back in school.
Uh-huh.
And so Wade had very, very early Calvin and Hobbes stuff in his office. And I went to a meeting in his office once, and I was like, the hell is that? And he was like, oh, that's, you know, do you know Calvin and Hobbes? And I said, yeah, I do. And he goes, oh, that's it. I said, oh, no, I know what it is. It was a rhetorical question.
Yeah.
But it was, you know, and he had custom drawn one for Wade. He had a strip and then a custom art for Wade. It was pretty amazing.
Like my office at Lucas.
But no, it was nothing like the Sunday page with the crayon. Because he had drawn with crayon on the wall behind him. And if you saw the image, you'd know what the image was.
Yeah.
And you go, oh man, David.
You know, how I think he got them, or how, if not David, I know
this. It was a charity thing, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a charity thing where Waterston had donated it for sale for charity, and then it wound up going from there to whoever bought it, then later put it up for sale.
Mm-hmm.
And so it had made the money.
One
it was
the
gonna
rare
make
ones.
It was gonna make money for charity. Yeah. Wow. So it's like I donate
David told me that he got it in a charity auction.
Maybe he did.
He may have, and I think that it was like. I'm probably mistaken. This is a question for David. But I want to say that Bill had created like three pieces for an auction, and David got one. Or he had given some of his Sunday strips for a charity, and David had really bit. And I mean, this thing was like, I mean, I don't even know.
The truth is probably somewhere in between because I've only known
and
of
it's
like
been 10 years. Or
three
years.
Pieces of Waterston artwork that have come up for sale. There are probably more. There were probably others given as gifts, but I know that one was a charity piece. I had heard like he had created some stuff, some original pieces. Mm-hmm. So it's either David's got one of those or one of the pieces that came out from charity. For all I know, he's got all three pieces.
He probably does.
Because he's the Indiana Jones of art collecting.
He
and if
is
there's
indeed.
Something he wants, he will find a way to get it.
And the thing is he's super charming and he's super nice.
Yeah.
You know, and he's super loaded.
Just
and
a bastard.
Well, yeah, I mean,
it's like when he goes.
But he's
when
super
he,
nice.
He's a guy who comes to play. You know, when there's artwork on the table, he is there. You know, he comes to play and to see what.
And he knows what he wants.
And he knows what he wants.
You know, like in the same auction that I was just talking about, one of the original Gertie the dinosaur.
Oh wow!
Drawings were up. That
Holy
went for
cow.
$3,000. Wicked
Only
Queen
3,
went for
$3,000. That's kind of amazing.
Wicked Queen went for $25K. So whoever wanted the Wicked Queen wanted her to the tune of $25,000. Whoever won the Gertie the Dinosaur, in my opinion, that's a steal.
The first animated
character. Oh, I know what Gertie the Dinosaur
McKay.
Is.
What?
And it was an original used in the film drawing of Gertie.
Wow.
Yeah.
Only $3,000.
Yeah.
I'm saving up.
And only one person bid.
That's ridiculous.
That was only $3,000?
That went for $3,000.
Oh, well.
You didn't want
you
that. I
out,
asked
Paul.
You if you wanted it. Not that we have $3,000 to blow on it. Not that it would be blowing it.
No.
But still.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like you really, after a while, you got to go, that's a lot of money for a drawing.
Mm-hmm.
Really? Well, that's the thing about David. You know, he does not buy art indiscriminately. Either he has favorite characters, favorite movies, or there's things that
means
parallel,
something. Yeah,
yeah. That means something to him. Like he worked on Seinfeld when they did the Bizarro Jerry episode.
Oh, I gotta.
And I think he wrote Bizarro Jerry.
I don't know.
Or maybe that was Spike. I don't know. But I know that he collected a lot of Bizarro stuff around that time.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that his apartment kind of mirrored my old office at Lucasfilm. Because I had Ralph McQuarrie paintings on the wall.
But they weren't yours.
I had a Drew Struzan painting from Indiana Jones. I had the fertility idol, but that was on my desk, but that was the thing. I had to leave all that stuff there.
Yeah.
It's like
it was on loan.
George said, fine, you know, go to the archives, get some stuff, put it on your desk. And I like seeing that stuff around, but I had to leave. I had to leave it all there. I got to keep one thing. I got a painting of the Ewoks.
Oh, that's nice.
That was my severance package.
Oh, yeah, that's upstairs. Yeah.
That was my severance package.
It's worth
Lucasville.
It. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
It's a nice painting, yeah.
That's a nice painting. You should have kept the fertility.
Is it Drew Struzan or something, or is it just a nice painting?
It's just a nice painting done by the animators when they started production on the
Ewoks.
That's
fantastic, though. Yeah,
the Ewoks
but
series.
You created that show,
exactly.
And so that means something to you, you know? Like, that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said, after a while, you got to go, do I want to buy this with that money, or do I want to redo the bathroom?
Well, yeah,
you know, it's
that.
Like $15,000. Yeah. I could remodel my whole bathroom for that, or I could buy this... Sell. that's an easy choice. You know, like, I mean, for
the
me.
The cell. I mean.
Oh. The Waterston painting, for sure. Yeah. You know, if I had 15K and that's what it cost, I'd buy it.
Well, if you're Rashy, you obviously prefer to have any of the cash, although I don't know what he did with it. $26,000?
Oh, you'll find out later this week, I'm sure.
Yeah. Or never.
This can't end well.
Yeah. Okay. Well, it didn't start well.
No, it didn't. Well, I didn't want to do anything for my birthday. I said, let's... And how did that swell to 26?
Well, that's exactly what you're getting, is nothing.
Yeah.
There you go.
Okay.
You're getting a bill for whatever you spent above the $26,000.
For that amount of money, I should be eating $26,000 worth of cake tomorrow. Can you imagine that?
No, that's not going to happen. No. And you probably wouldn't even get through $1,000 worth of cake.
One of my favorite all-time...
We got to get you a cake.
One of my favorite all-time Charles Adams cartoons...
Yeah.
...is this one that has... It shows a chef wheeling out a giant cake like a girl pops out of. And there are all these big fat guys looking around like lustfully at the cake like they just can't wait for that girl to pop out in the next panel. They're all eating huge slices of cake.
Nice.
Okay.
I love that.
Someone said to someone else on Twitter who was having a bachelor party, be careful for the cake. It has a human in it.
Well...
That's a stupid joke. I'm leaving. I gotta get ready for my show.
You know, Super
Rika's assistant. Keeping me here.
Super Rika's assistant, Miss Demure, has put herself through college by popping out of cakes.
Super Rika's assistant, Miss Demure, is so hot she didn't need college. She wasted her money.
Obviously, she didn't stay long in college, but
yeah,
she's got other knowledge apparently.
Okay, I'm gonna get up. I love you guys. Okay. Have a happy week, everybody.
You're off to the castle, right?
Well, I'm off to put makeup on. I'll probably be yelling from the bathroom.
Oh, all right.
For the next 40 minutes or so while I curl my hair. And...
That's okay.
I sold an illusion today.
Ooh. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, nice. I sold my big bow staff.
Oh.
And you were sad to see it go.
I felt like a mother watching her son go away to college. You know, like he's on to a better life now. Uh-huh. And, you know, like we had our time together and it's time
you
for it to go.
You did your job.
Yeah, you know, and it was like, the guy saw it and he was like, this is in beautiful shape. It's so much better than you described. And I was like, because it's not been used all that much. Because it's huge. You know, yeah. Like the bow staff is a very big illusion. And I never really wanted to take the legs off and stuff, you know. So we just didn't use it that much. Because it was tough to get through doorways. It's super wide, you know. And it's a good illusion. But for what he's doing, he's a magician at Legoland.
Oh.
He does all their magic shows at Legoland, and he's got a bunch of theme park and school shows and casinos.
Mm.
And they do daytime shows. Like, he had a show today. He said, I can't leave Riverside because we have a show here where we live until 5 this afternoon. And I thought, oh, you have a show at 5? It sounds like you might have a day job. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Turns out he had a show at a casino for a bunch of old people that don't work during the day that wanted to see a magic show. So they had, a 2 daytime shows today, and it's a contract that they do all day, all week. Wow. And then on the weekends they do Legoland, and then they take over a theater that's an equity theater, and the actors take, because according to contract they get their one night off.
Yep.
These guys come in and do a magic show, so the theater's not completely dark that night, but they can't use too much of the stage, so they can leave one large illusion on stage all week, and so whatever they're doing in the performance that month stays there. Then he's got the contracts at Legoland at some casinos, and so they travel with a trailer.
Okay.
And very much like mine, but, you know, everything, he keeps his stuff mostly assembled. Most of my stuff is disassembled because it's just easier to pack in an ATA case. But it was just interesting to see it go and to see who it was going to and to hear him and his assistant get so excited about it that they were routining it. And, I mean, it's a $10,000 prop, you know, and so, and he got it for a lot less than that. I mean, he didn't even pay.
Not a lot, well.
A lot less.
Well, I don't say what it was.
Why wouldn't I say? I don't care. It's his prop, not mine. Okay. I'm not telling tales out of school.
Right.
But, you know, I mean, it was a prop that I got used, and he's getting it used, but I fixed it up. Mm-hmm. You know, we painted it up, and we made it look like brand new, and it really looks like brand new. So he got a damn good deal, and he was very excited about it. But it was really bittersweet to, like, see it go. And then to hear good ideas, like, about what was going to happen to it. And I thought, no, that's good. I'm glad he's excited. And I asked him, I said, please send me a video of what you do with it.
Yeah.
Because I could never find a routine that made me happy with it. Mm-hmm. And he's like, oh, we're going to do this and we're going to do that. And, man, we could put 3 people in here and we could do this. And I'm like, wow, that's really ambitious. Have fun with that. And they're really, like, they were working it out. And they were, you know, like, it was really neat.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go get ready. I love you guys. Bye.
Bye. Well, we'll see you later. We'll see you next week. I actually have become prepared for this.
Oh.
Yeah, so I knew that Misty would have to leave early, so I've engaged the services of a co-host.
Oh, really? I didn't see them coming. Oh.
Well, I have this crocodile hand puppet I call Captain Chompy, so let me put him on here. And hi, Captain Chompy.
Hello there, folks.
Captain Chompy is going to be... Should I move over to this microphone over here?
Yeah, there you go.
No, I think you better stay here.
Okay, I'll compensate. Oh.
Yeah.
Well, hello, America. My name is Captain Chompy. I'm from down Florida way.
Oh, that's very interesting, Captain Chompy. Maybe you'd like... You know what? I'm talking with a crocodile puppet. And trying to make it sound interesting. And
have you run out of material?
Yeah.
Already? It's been...
Well, maybe it's time to wrap up the podcast.
Oh, yeah. No, I prepared some material. I've got a song to sing.
What's the song?
Oh, Afternoon Delight?
Nah.
Singing Sky Rockets in Flight.
You know, okay. Yeah, Captain Chompy, hey, Hobart, would you come in here? Do you want to meet Hobart, our pet thylacine?
Well, he looks kind of vicious.
I think that may be the last we see of Captain Chompy for a while. I barely got my hand out of there in time. And so I think we may wrap this one up.
Talk about Tom and Jerry.
Well, no, Tom and Jerry. We talked about Hulk. Oh, Hulk. Okay, Hulk. Hulk. Yeah, I gotta plug the other big project. That is Hulk and the Agents of Smash, which will be premiering, when you hear this, on Sunday, the...
11th. Yay!
Hulk and the Agents of Smash. It's out there.
Tune in today. It's probably available on iTunes and all that.
It is available on iTunes. You can get it, and it's got good stuff, and it's a two-part episode. We're running a two-part premiere called Doorway to Destruction, and it features guest villain Annihilus from the Fantastic Four.
Nice.
So we've got the Hulk, She-Hulk, Red Hulk, who's fast becoming my favorite Marvel character. Because he's kind of a big, burly military dork. He's a lot of fun to laugh at, and it's a good show. And A-Bomb, who's tremendous, Seth Green. Everybody's really great on the show, and I can't wait. Liza Dishku. Everybody's awesome on the show, and I think people will really enjoy it. It's an odd show to put the Hulk in, what's kind of a reality show format. But we didn't really want to do a traditional straight-ahead adventure. I mean, kids have Spider-Man, they have Avengers and everything, and how do we make the Hulk different from what you see in Avengers? And this is really more of the Hulk's home life and what goes on behind the scenes with the Hulk. And you have a little window into his life. And it's a lot of fun. And we have Stan Lee in the show, too, occasionally.
Nice, of course.
Yeah.
Well, if anybody gets a chance to check it out and everything, let us know on Facebook or whatever. Tell us what you think.
Yes. And, it'll be really cool. And you guys have some news, too. You have some new additions to your family, right?
Yeah, just adopted some cats for Emily's birthday last week.
Yeah.
It's been a birthday month. You want to tell them about them?
Xena and Zelda.
Yep, Xena and Zelda.
Yeah, now you were telling me earlier before the show how you came to adopt them. So if you wouldn't mind repeating that for...
Oh, yeah, I went into the shelter on my... Well, we went in before to check them out, make sure they were good.
Yeah.
Went in, pretty much asked what the hardest ones to get out were, the ones that had a hard time getting adopted.
And previously we were looking for adopting two because we wanted them to have company.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they said that there were two pair, like bonded pair, that were about a year old, that someone had dropped off and was clearly their owner, but just left them there.
So
we took them in, and now they're happy at home.
Well, good. Yeah. I mean, I think that's very rewarding. That's how we got Deuce and Muggsy, was we had lost Worf, and we were grieving over that, and it had been like a week or two, and then we'd go like... miss him so much, but still, you know, we've got a hole in our lives. We need to get another.
Similar. We had a cat named Tigger not too long ago, and she was a fantastic cat, and we waited a few months until it fit us and our time, and we went around looking around, and these two guys, their girls, were just perfect. And bonded cats traditionally are hard to adopt, so if you are looking to adopt, bonded animals are, you know, preferable. Also older animals, because they're harder to adopt. These are a year old kittens, so they're big. So they aren't particularly the ones people jump for. They aren't the little kitties.
Well, that was the same with Deuce and Muggsy, was they were older. They were about five or six, and they were bonded together. They were litter mates, mm-hmm. and they had a tough life. They, I don't know much about their past, but mm-hmm. from what I heard, they were rather indifferently raised by a guy who kept them out on a concrete porch mm-hmm. and threw them food every once in a while, and then they had a, you know, plastic, you know, bags to poop on and everything. So they were mostly outdoor dogs, and when we saw them, and Rachel, Rachel Farmer, who runs Boston Buddy, said, I know you're grieving over Worf, but if you could just foster Deuce and Muggsy. And we looked at their pictures online, and Worf was one of the little tiny Bostons with the big pricked up ears and everything. Mm-hmm. And these guys look bigger. They're more like small boxers.
Yeah, they got a good size to them.
Yeah, and it's like, well, I always thought of Boston Terriers as being kind of small, but these guys were, you know, there is like a bigger style of Boston. And they were very handsome looking, and then we went to see them. And they were barking kind of savagely at the other dogs in the vet's office where they were, and they were kind of springing and going like, I don't know if this is going to work out. I don't think these are, you know, very gentle dogs, and they were very afraid of the other dogs. And then once we took them home, they settled down and they realized they had, you know, they were safe here. They lost a lot of all of that, you know, toughness, and they're just so sweet now. So if you are adopting a pet and you are thinking twice about, you know, well, you know, you just want a cute, appealing one that looks, you know, the first one you see that looks really cute, you might want to go after ones that are going to have a bit of a tougher time. So really, you know, well done, guys.
And they're,
really...
they're rewarding in themselves. You know, they have already developed a personality that you can, you know, you can love and, you know, and... I don't know.
I think animals like cats and dogs, they take toward their reflection of their owner. They're gonna be mm-hmm. they're gonna be harder if the owner is cruel, and I think if they're shown kindness and you know their owners are gentle and good people, they're a reflection of that. So mm-hmm. you know these boys certainly are that. They're very 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 sweet. So
yeah.
Yes, and I you know you hear about people you know that. People don't want like bulldogs or pit bulls or things like that because they have bad reputations, and some of those dogs are raised rather cruelly and they do need a lot of love, but mm-hmm. you know they can be very very affectionate, very sweet dogs. So very lucky to have these guys.
Yeah,
so that's my pitch for animals today.
Yeah, everyone go out and adopt an animal. Well, not everyone.
Not everybody should have one, but, you know, all you good people, kindly people.
Yeah, if you feel like you need an animal in your life, go adopt some.
Yes, absolutely. I think that's a good note to go out on.
Yeah.
Although I feel bad, we weren't very kind to Captain Jumpy.
Well,
he's...
Do you see him anymore? I mean, Tobert has him buried halfway up to his neck.
Well, I think Hobart's having a good time with him, so I think that's okay.
Okay.
I know that Rashi's off spending my money. I better do something about that, track him down. And God knows where Super Rika and Miss Demure are. But so anyway, I'm going to wrap it up and get out of here. I'm going to go off and do something else. Anyway, have a great weekend, and thanks
happy
for coming.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. And happy pet adoption to you guys. Yes. Happy kitties. And we'll talk to you next time. Bye-bye.
This has been another episode of Radio Rashi. If you've enjoyed this episode, let everyone know by leaving a review in the iTunes Store. It's a great way to help others find us. You can also leave comments on RadioRashi.com, Facebook.com/RadioRashi, or follow us on Twitter @RadioRashi or @Paul_Dini to leave us questions. Thanks for listening, and tell your friends.